We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home, and we're picking up again with the third chapter, the 15th Mishnah. Hakol Safui. Everything is revealed before Hashem. Veharshut Netuna. And God gives us the capacity to do good or bad. He'll see what we do, but we have the capacity, we have free choice. Uvetuv ha'olam nidon. And when Hashem judges the world, He judges it with mercy, with kindness. And hakol lefi rov ha'maaseh, it all is contingent on how much good you do. The more good you do, the more Hashem judges a person favorably. Another understanding here is that hakol tzafui, God knows in advance everything a person's going to do. And you'll say, maybe because God knows in advance, so then you don't have free will. So then the Mishnah says, no, harshut netuna. God gave us the capacity to do good or bad. We do have free choice. And you'll say, being that we have free choice, so then how's the world judged? So that's what it tells us. Uvetuv olam nidon. Hashem judges the world, and it's fair to judge the world because we were given free choice. And depending on our actions, that's how we are judged. It says that when Hashem was considering creating the human being, so the angel said, why create him? He's not going to live up to expectation. He's not perfect. We angels, we do exactly what you want. But the human being, you made him godly, you gave him free choice, and he uses that free choice in the wrong direction. So don't create man. And God destroyed those angels. And the same conversation happened a second time and a third time. And every time the angel said, don't create man because man doesn't live up to expectation, they were banished. So God wanted us, in spite of our imperfections, in spite of the fact that we repeatedly do not live up to expectation, we don't live up to expectations. And God knew we wouldn't live up to expectations, and nonetheless, He wanted to create us. So then I guess we're living up to expectations, aren't we? If the expectation is that we shouldn't live up to expectations, then we're doing a pretty good job. One of the great difficulties in marriage is that we all have expectations. There's a saying that says that a man marries a girl with the vision that she'll remain the exact, pure, gentle girl that he thinks she is before they got married till the day he dies. And a woman marries a man with the vision of exactly what type of man she's going to make him. And neither one is right. Meaning the person you see before marriage is not exactly the person you're going to see after marriage. You know, there's a certain front before marriage. And the person you imagine it's going to be is not the person it's going to be. We all evolve to a certain degree. And we all have certain elements of disappointments. And the question is, how do we approach that? So we have to learn from God. God knew that we would not live up to, we wouldn't live up to what might be the expectations of an angel. God said they're human beings. They have their foibles. That's part of being human. And as such, although hakol tzafui, even though God foresaw where it was all headed, Harshut nituna. God gave us the capacity to go either way. And in the beginning, this concept seems very easy. But then, after 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, that you've been saying the same things over and over again, please don't leave the milk out at night. Please don't leave me the car without any gas in the morning. Please make sure to pay the bills on time. There's no reason we should pay interest for nothing. And if you're not going to take care of it, tell me, I'll take care of it. Don't let it get buried under all the other mail. After 10 years of saying the same thing, sometimes you give up. You say, it's not going anywhere. Okay, if you give up happily, so okay, you'll pay the prices to get it. But we have to remember that Hashem also knew our human foibles and did not give up. Hashem always gave us capacity to move forward. One of the weaknesses we all have is that we point out to our fellow men their weaknesses. A wife walks in Sunday morning and says, "That's it. This week I'm going to diet." What does the husband answer? "What else is new? Good luck." Wait a second. We'd ask the husband, "Don't you want her to diet?" The husband says, "Sure." So then you ask him, "So why aren't you encouraging her?" And the husband says, "She's tried it 10 times before. Why do you think this diet's going to be any different than the other ones?" Husband walks in and says, "That's it, I'm going to quit smoking. My best friend was just diagnosed with. No way I'm continuing smoking. I want to see my grandchildren's wedding." What does the wife say? "Good luck, dear." You ask the wife, "Wait a second, don't you want him to quit smoking?" The wife says, "You know how many programs I sent him on? You know how much money we flushed down the toilet? You know how many things we tried?" But wait a second, let's ask ourselves, do we want it to happen? Yes. But what are we doing? We're standing in the way of it happening. And it's very normal for that to happen, because after a few times that we try, we feel, like the Mishnah says, "Hakol tzafui." You can forecast what's going to happen. Well, let's try to break out of that cycle. And let's realize that part of our job is to give encouragement and to help people break out of that cycle. We believe that a person always has the capacity to break out of the cycle. And although it is a tremendous feat, the Mishnah says, "Ezehu gibol," you want to know who is a brave person, "akovesh titzor," one who captures his own desires, but we believe we could all be giborim. Every person could be. And just because I wasn't yesterday doesn't mean I'll be today. We have to remember, we cannot confuse the past with the future. All the past says is what I've done till today. From today on is in my hands. My past I cannot change anymore. But my future, that's up to me. Hareshut nituna, that's what the Mishnah says. Everyone was given capacity. We were granted permission and capacity to define our future in this sense, that we have free choice. And an intelligent spouse never gives up. Should always have the encouraging word. And the truth is, we all need the encouraging word. It's part of what we want out of marriage. We want to hear that line that says, "You can do it." And if we want to go a little deeper, we could say it even sharper. What we really desire in marriage is someone who will believe in us where we don't believe in ourselves. We all have those areas where we know we're less than perfect and we're not so good at them. The wife doesn't want a husband who's going to tell her, "Honey, you and a Mack truck are on a race and right now you're winning, so don't tell me you're going on a diet." That's not what she wants to hear. She wants to hear, "Good for you. I can't believe you still have the fortitude to do this. After so many times, you're not giving up. That's wonderful." The husband that walks in and says, "I'm quitting smoking," the wife says, "That's so admirable. We both know how many times you've been through this and you're not giving up. Good for you. Let's think how we can make it work this time." They both know that they've both failed numerous times. So then let's think together. How are we going to make this time different? Let's try. One of the keys is to look at the root of where our failings come from. Very often, the guy who wakes up late thinks he needs another 3 alarm clocks and doesn't think maybe he has to get to bed a little earlier. I need someone who's really going to wake me in the morning. No, that's not the solution. I need a stronger cup of coffee in the morning. That's not the solution. Get to bed on time. That's the solution. Look at the root of the problem. People need help. Let them get help. But our job is to be there as support, to think with the person, and to leave that capacity to be a better person open. Hareshut netuna. The Mishnah says, "Hakol lefi rov ha-maaseh." We have to know that rov ha-maaseh could mean the more good deeds you do, the better. But it could also mean the more good you do, the more it becomes a habit. The beginning of the Mishnah discusses free will. It discusses our capacity to use our willpower to become a positive person. The conclusion of the Mishnah discusses another tool. It's called habit. Getting into a good habit. And we have to know that it's not like one is better than the other. Each one has its benefits. Each one has its strengths. And we have to try to work on both and use both tools to become good people. If a person gets accustomed to responding calmly, if a person gets accustomed to responding kindly, person gets accustomed to avoiding sarcasm, a person has gotten into a good habit that makes him into a good person. You'll ask him, did you think about it? No, I didn't think about it. That's what I'm used to. That's how I greet people. That's how I talk to people. Okay, does that make him less of a good person? No. We have to use both tools. We have to use our free will, but we also have to use our capacity to enter good habits. And it takes time to form habits, but it's something that's doable. And sometimes that's all it takes, getting into good habits. There was once a guy who told me that every night he came home and they'd get into a fight. So I told him, there are two tools we're going to try to use. Number one, when you get off the bus, you don't go home. You sit at the bus stop and breathe for 5 minutes. Your wife doesn't know when you got off the bus. She's not expecting you this minute. You could take 5 minutes at the bus stop. Take 5 minutes to breathe and ask yourself, what's going to happen when you come home? And what do you want to happen and what don't you want to happen? And how are you going to avoid what you don't want should happen? Think about it. Every day, sit down for 5 minutes and think about it before you walk into the house and hold that thought when you walk in. Try to make it that the first 15 minutes you walk into the house, there's no fight. Cross that threshold. Make the first 15 minutes pleasant. Get into the habit. So tool number one was use your free choice. Tool number two is get into the habit that the first 15 minutes you're home are pleasant. You're nice, you're sweet, you smile. You look for ways to say positive things. Imagine in your mind that you haven't finished work. You have another 15 minutes worth of work. And these 15 minutes are your world to come. Till now you were working on this world. You were working on making a parnasa, on making ends meet. Now you're going to work on your world to come. You're going to have 15 minutes to make them the most enjoyable 15 minutes of your wife's life. 15 minutes. Just make the first 15 minutes when you're home the best 15 minutes for your wife, not for yourself. You're working another 15 minutes. You could imagine what the results were. Laila Tov.